your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, balancing form and essence with Reiki master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and this is Reiki, balancing form and essence. We are in the middle of a wonderful topic. It seems that there is much to say about something that most people agree with that our language doesn't really have words for, and that is how to describe a mystic experience, how to define or describe what mystic is, and what are the feelings that are characteristic of something we might call mystic. So, that notwithstanding, in other words, nevertheless, even though we feel like we don't have words for it, we're going to try to put words on it. And today, I just have a, in my intro, I have a little experience that one of the listeners wrote to me on the email. And this is Karen Johnson, and she has been on the show a few months ago describing her experience of Reiki and the treatments of Reiki as a person who has cerebral palsy and what that was like for her. So she's been musing about this idea that in Reiki we have mystic experiences. And then she said, oh, I just realized that I do have mystic experiences. And she's surprised. And this is from her. Quote, once early on, I was having a treatment from one of Lynn's students. Her name was also Lynn. And during the treatment, I had an experience of an angel with large wings coming down and enfolding me in his wings. I remember it as almost like a dream. At the end of the treatment, I was asked if I had any favorite angels that I was connected to. And I said no, but funny she should ask. And I explained my experience, and she almost fell off her chair. I could tell that she wasn't making her story up. She told me she saw a large angel having sex with me, and we were even able to agree on his name. Actually, I should connect with the sacred male angelic form again and see what's next. So that's a very interesting experience, and he describes it as a mystic experience. So today I have with me Elaine Andrus, and she might have been thrown a little by my little introduction. But I sort of relate angels and church and spirituality all in the same boat. Perhaps I shouldn't. So anyway, Elaine Andrus is a master. She lives in Salem, Oregon. And she's had a very long experience with Reiki and also within her own church experience as a minister and also now as a spiritual director. I'd like to welcome Elaine to the show.
Hi, Phyllis. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so happy that we're on the air. I'd like, as with all of my guests, to ask you to just talk a little bit about how you met Reiki and have the listeners become acquainted with who you are.
Okay. My journey with Reiki began in 1980. I'm going to probably cough throughout this. I apologize. With a friend who gave me a treatment when I had a sore shoulder. And in about 5 minutes, the pain went away, and I was fascinated by what she did because all I could tell is she put her hands on my shoulders. So we talked about it, and she offered to give me regular sessions. So I did that, And in the course of those sessions, I would have portions of scripture, which I had not memorized, come into my mind, along with new understanding of what those meant. And so, for me, from the very beginning, it's been a connection to my spiritual life. Then I had a dream that came to me, and I don't dream, so this was unusual, too. It was simply a dream of two hands. And it came night after night after night, and finally I called Pat, and I said, "What is happening? What is this about?" And she said, "Well, why don't you ask before you go to sleep?" And I've never heard of asking for information in a dream, but I did. And that night I had the dream, and I had the two hands and the word heal above it. And I didn't understand what that meant either. So I called Pat, and I said, "What does this mean?" And she said, "I don't know. I have to figure it out." So finally, I asked her about taking a class, and she connected me with her teacher, Ethel Lombardi. And I went up and took the first degree class from Ethel in September of that year, and had no experience of any energy in my hands at all, and everybody else in the class talking about their experiences, and I just felt like it probably didn't take. But it did. And over the years, it's deepened, grown. I love it.
Wonderful. Thank you. And you've, and it seems that from the very beginning, Reiki opened something inside of you that was already very present with you, and that was your relationship with the church.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely did. In my very first class, there was a moment when Ethel was telling the history, and she paused, and she said, "Just share whatever it is that you see." And I thought, well, this is rather strange. And so I sat there, and all of a sudden, I saw several people's faces where her face, I thought, was. And that shocked me, shook me up. And then in the second degree class, my ability to hear in a new way opened. And I heard voices and bells ringing, and all of this was very weird to
mm-hmm.
me, because it was totally outside my experience up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues.
Mm-hmm. And would you consider those particular experiences to be mystic, or are they more, are they something else? I don't know if you have a word to describe them.
Hmm. I guess really the only word I have is mystic.
Great.
So, I was trying to think of another word, but I don't know what it would be.
Uh-huh. And so could you describe to us what your definition or feelings are about this experience of mystic? Like, what are the characteristics of, when you have an experience and you would say this is a mystic experience, what are the characteristics of that experience?
Okay. Usually it comes without any work on my part. It's something that mm-hmm. just happens.
Uh-huh.
It's also something that is beyond my conscious experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a question or a vision or something like that, it's nothing that I have thought about, gee, I'd like to have a mystical experience, so I think I'll create one. It doesn't happen like that. They just come.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually very calming now. They weren't mm-hmm. in the beginning because my brain just freaked out. But now it's like, oh, okay. And the information I trust that I get, I sit with it for a while and let it integrate into my body and my mind and my heart. Usually there's a sense of joy and a sense of clarity that this is real. There's also a sense of, well, this is sort of an after effect, I guess, is a sense of new freedom
uh-huh.
and openness in my life and in the way I am. There's a sense of deeper trust that I am connected to everything and everyone, and there is this sense of oneness and wholeness that is beyond my conscious experience, and I can trust in that. So that deepens as well. These are the things that come off the top of my head.
They're beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll have to listen to the show again and write them all down for myself.
Yeah, I will too.
That's beautifully said. And I got kind of lost, but because I was also thinking about Karen's situation and her description of her mystic experience, and it felt like all of those characteristics were a part of her experience, that it was spontaneous, it was, you know, real for her. It was something that came to her and was something unknown because of her condition of cerebral palsy. She's not been a sexual person. So it was like this whole new experience for her and very interesting. So I got kind of lost, in, I have to say, in my thoughts and in my thinking about Karen. But I think that it really was a beautiful way of expressing mystic, because I feel that, I'll just tell a little story. When I, it was in 1993, I believe, when I wrote this newspaper article describing the four aspects, and they were healing practice, personal development, spiritual discipline, and mystic order. And that was in 1993. And actually, even though probably if I had been able to have a conversation like we are now, I might have gone, oh, right, I have mystical experiences. But I didn't back then. And in fact, I used to have conversations with some people going, oh, you know, he's just a mystic. You know, in that kind of tone of voice. And it was very dismissive. And I realized that I kind of took this on, that, you know, being a mystic was something that people dismissed as not real.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll be back after the station break to continue this thought. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Elaine Andrus from Oregon, and we're speaking about mysticism and Reiki. So just before the break, I was talking a little bit about my own experience of introducing this possibility that of the four aspects, which are areas of experience in being a Reiki student, that there is this aspect of mystic order, having mystic experiences and having it be a part of the actual practice. And in the beginning, in 1993 and some years after that, I got a lot of this kind of dismissive tone or questionable tone, like Reiki, you know, mysticism, you know, is it mystic? Well, I don't think so. Or this idea of, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so is a mystic, you know, kind of dismissive. And I think, Elaine, that brought up something in you. Did you have a response to my sharing?
Well, I just identified with that experience. That's all. It's like, oh yeah. I get raised eyebrows and people shy away from me and...
Uh-huh.
And other people are drawn to me. So.
Uh-huh. Anyway. And is that because you consider yourself a mystic?
I really never have.
Uh-huh.
It was just recently that I read an article. I'm trying to remember what it said about the mystic. I guess what it said was a mystic is a person who is comfortable knowing that they do not know and living with the mystery. Of the divine mystery, I think it's what it said. And I was like, oh, well, then maybe I am. But I never really considered myself that.
Comfortable living with the divine mystery.
And knowing that you don't know. It's being comfortable living in that unknown space.
Wow.
And I realized when I read that, should have written it down because I thought about it before and got,
that's just exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. But when I read it, it was like, oh, well, maybe I am. And I really haven't decided yes or no, but I'm considering the possibility now, and before
okay.
I never would have.
That's great. Well, you know, it's one of the things that intrigues me about you and your other life background, you know, and what you bring to the Reiki community? Is this part of you that has been a minister all these years, has done support work for youth groups, as I remember, and now you've taken education as a spiritual director? And I'm just wondering if you could say a little bit about this. It's not a new thing. I mean, it's not a new concept, spiritual direction, but it certainly has become something that has been more, I would say, attainable by the layperson. Like, I've just been hearing about a lot of programs that offer a course or a degree program in spiritual direction. And, you know, when I was in school, I never saw it. And I worked for a huge university and never saw this in any of the offerings. So I'm just wondering if you can enlighten us about what spiritual direction is.
Right. You're definitely correct. Spiritual direction has been around forever. It's been a part of the Catholic faith tradition from the very beginning. And you're also correct in that it's getting a lot of attention in the last 10, 15 years. The program that I went through was a diploma, graduate diploma in the art of spiritual direction at San Francisco Theological Seminary. And their program is only probably 10 or 12, maybe 15 years old.
Wow.
And when I went through seminary, we had no classes or courses on prayer or spirituality. That was unheard of. It was, and definitely we did not have anything on healing. The scripture is full of Jesus healing, you know, all kinds of people in all kinds of ways, but we didn't talk about that. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely moving into its own space. There are a lot of spiritual directors and a lot of faith tradition. And it's a delightful ministry. It's a wonderful ministry to be doing. Honored and thrilled to be able to have this opportunity to do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. So as I was introduced it through a series of novels by Suzanne Howitt, who writes about a spiritual director in the Anglican Church some decades ago, and it's a very interesting series. And I was intrigued by this position of spiritual directorship. But in this book, and as I gather, the spiritual directors were actually what we might call spiritual guide or a counselor for priests and lay ministers within the church. So, you know, when we talk about those who are therapists, psychological therapists, a good therapist has a therapist.
Right.
And a good priest has his priest. And their job of a priest for priest is a very specific one. But what I've gathered was, so I wanted to know, is this concept in the ballpark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a monthly session with my spiritual director, and then I also have a session with my supervisor.
So you do both. You kind of combine the two. And then, what you're doing is not offering spiritual direction just to the clergy, but you're actually, it's actually something that you can offer to the parishioners, or to anybody who wants to come and have guidance in spiritual direction. Is that true?
That's true. Huh? So, spiritual direction is available for anyone that has a desire to deepen their walk or their path with God or the holy or whatever they want to call it.
So could you, without breaking any confidences, could you give us a kind of example of who could come to you and what kind of questions they might have?
They would have
any question about their life. It could range from, I just lost my job, my wife and I just found out we're pregnant, I'm wanting to go back to school, I don't believe in God, I don't understand why God allowed this or that to happen. It can be anything. It can be, you won't believe this, I saw this most marvelous hummingbird and I watched it for an hour and I was just in this wonderful space of joy, and they want to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
People will talk about anything that is happening in their lives. And my directees are male and female, single, married, all ages. I have several faith traditions, different people coming from different faith traditions. Probably my youngest is early 20s. I guess my oldest is retired.
Uh-huh. So when the people come, then do you give them, well, I guess I will use some very awkward word, exercises or some things to explore their dilemma, if they have a life dilemma that they're coming to you with, within their own faith, or is it general spiritual direction, or?
It's pretty general. Basically, the definition of spiritual direction is often called holy listening. And what that means is that my issues, my thoughts, and even my wonderful great advice, I don't get.
Oh, Elaine, how terrible.
That's not what it's about.
Uh-huh.
It's about when someone comes to me, it's about me listening as deeply as I can for the movement of the Spirit, God, loving kindness, whatever term they use for the divine, the mystery.
Uh-huh.
And I just listen for that movement. In an hour session, often I may only speak maybe a total of 5 or 10 minutes out of that whole time. But I'm holding the person in prayer as they're talking and sharing, and I'm watching and I'm noticing and I'm watching for what the invitation that might be coming for them in from God. And often I'll ask that question, what do you suppose is God's invitation in this issue or this event or this thing that you're happening? What is it that God might be inviting you to release, to claim, to enjoy, to move? Those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Great question. And do you, in this practice, see a movement that you might call mystic? Do your clients have mystic experiences?
Yes. They do.
Pardon me?
I said, yes, they do.
Ah, great. Well, we'll go further into this question. I hear that it's time for a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador Family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy 5-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And I have with me today Elaine Andrus from Oregon. And we're just speaking about her work with spiritual direction and if her clients ever seemed to have a mystic experience. And she said yes, and then it was our station break time. So I'm just wondering, do you have a little story about this that comes up for you? Or an example?
None that comes up right away. Usually what happens in a session is the person, well, not usually, trying to think of an example. Can't think of anything that would be appropriate for me to share.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. Your clients will be relieved.
That's true.
Yeah,
confidential.
Right. So, would you say that? We've gone through your characteristics of mystic experience, and I think that it was very clear. So now I guess what I need to do is to go a next step further and to ask you if you feel that these experiences that you have experienced with someone or the experiences you have had, if they are similar to the ones that you've experienced in Reiki I assume they are in their characteristic, but also in their spontaneity?
Yes. They're very similar.
Excuse me. And so would you, out of this experience of having these two avenues of being with people in very deep and intimate spaces, Reiki being one and spiritual direction being another, and perhaps another also being ministry, I'm wondering, then, would you consider that it is a part of, well, I guess I could say human nature, that we are at some place mystics all?
I think we all have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in working in the church and with my directees and the people that I give Reiki treatments to is that we often don't recognize what's happening and we don't label it that way. It's sort of like, you know, these experiences had happened for me all my life and I never understood them. I never had a name for them. But what I find, especially in spiritual direction, is when I notice something that gives people kind of a handlehold, something to hold on to,
mm-hmm.
and it builds for them. The more they begin to reflect on that experience that they just had, the more that invites them to open to other experiences.
Mm-hmm. And is it shocking for people? Like, do they feel like they have to explain these experiences away as a fantasy sometimes?
No,
Yeah, well, they might sometimes. I suppose that's a normal response for some people. But in the spiritual direction sessions, most of them just kind of breathe into the experience and acknowledge that this is God at work in their life, and you know, reflect on it, think about
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, one of my early understandings of mystic, and this is actually before this particular series of interviews, so I've learned a lot in the last weeks, was my kind of pat definition of mystic was that it was an experience that a human being had of the divine without intercession from another human being. Mm-hmm. And I just immediately thought of, you know, my minister in my church or the Catholic priest or someone that I felt like I had to go to in order to then have contact with the divine. And I use that word divine for God or goddess or whatever people call this energy or this beingness that holds us in this magnificent creation we call our world.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a working definition somewhere in the church?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe anyway that people need to have anyone come between them and their definition, their experience of the holy.
Uh-huh.
It can happen, and we can, I believe, intercede for other people. That's the process of what we call intercessory prayer, where we pray for someone, or we pray for someone's health or their condition or something. But that's not necessary for an individual to connect
uh-huh.
with God. I feel that everybody has a connection with God inside.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, you know, at one point, what you just said might have been called heresy. Is
Uh-oh.
That true?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just, I read too many books. But is that true in the old church that might have been heresy? That, you know, it's only been in the last maybe 30 or 40 years that this particular avenue has become open and public?
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, our spiritual history has included that, mm-hmm. that you had to have the intervention of a priest or a pastor or some kind of a spiritual leader in order to connect, that we as individuals were not able to do that.
Uh-huh.
And that's not true.
Uh-huh. And do you think that was out of a sense of the common people, as we might put ourselves, or I could put myself, as not being worthy? Or do you know what the actual reason, if I may use that word, reason was that we had to go through someone else?
I don't know that there was a reason. To me, it seems that this is just a matter of our own development and our own growth
uh-huh.
and our understanding of that realm that's beyond our ability to consciously grasp a hold of,
uh-huh.
and that it's just been a progression over the centuries
uh-huh.
of God moving in our midst. I don't think there were reasons or anything like that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it was really interesting because it brings to mind something that someone said to me who was an artist at one point. And this is also noticed in the paintings and so on of early days, that it seems like our palette of colors has increased enormously in the last time period. And in the very beginning, millennia ago, the number of colors that we had to, if I may use the word, choose from were very limited. And somehow, in our development as a human being, we see more of the color spectrum in our world until now. You know, our mind boggles at the number of shades and hues of each of the primary colors and all the more intricate tones that we can get, whether it's matte or glossy or, you know, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that is also true in our spiritual seeing. You know, if there is some, is this what you're talking about, that there's some development as us, as human beings, that maybe, you know, 2,000 years ago, you know, it was really important that we have intercession. And, of course, one of the more, this is not sacrilegious, famous people is Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was... extended himself to be the bridge between mankind and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that in that, there was a sort of awakening of our, a quickening of our spiritual understanding. So we've ended up now in today with this incredible palette of experiences that we can have of the divine.
Right.
Am I following any kind of track here?
I think so, because where that took me in my own mind was to our interfaith worship services that we host in our church, and how easy it is anymore to connect to that divine, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Native American drumming circle, a dance that's being done, a song that's being sung in language that I don't understand, a chant that we're invited to stay together. There's just that sense of coming together from all faith traditions in that one service. And that is new.
Very new.
You know, it began out of the 2001 9/11. That's how it started. We just simply wanted a way to express that, hey guys, we are one on this planet. We are all one. And when somebody hurts, I'm hurting if I'm awake. Mm-hmm. If I'm asleep, I just think they're in pain. You know, what can I do to help? But if I'm awake when somebody is hurting, I'm also hurting. And likewise, when they're happy, I'm also happy.
Uh-huh.
So there's a connection there that we all have. And this interfaith worship service that we do once a month is just really deepening that experience of oneness for all of us.
Mm, beautiful. There are several different, I will say, new, because relatively speaking, I think they are new, of these ecumenical practices coming forth, and often they are centered around music and singing or drumming.
Right.
Which is interesting, because I think that's the kind of natural vehicle to the divine that we have always had, is our voice.
Yes.
Yes?
Very definitely.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll be back after the station break with Elaine Andress. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
That Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're on the topic of mysticism, mystic order, and today we have with us Elaine Andress, who is a spiritual director, minister of a Christian church, and she was just, and we were just talking about ecumenical services, which, of course, quite often evolve and contain chanting, singing, and it feels like this is an expression that mankind throughout the ages has used to connect with the divine. And this experience of oneness also is very holographic in my experience. And so I'd like to just come back to Elaine, you, Elaine, as a person, because sometimes I think in these interviews we kind of separate, word artificially, you know, you're part as a Reiki master, you're part as a Reiki student, part of you as a spiritual director, part of you as a minister, and, you know, part of you as a mother, and, you know, we've got kind of multiple personalities here. And I like to think of myself as actually having multiple personages, but they all come to one, and one of the most important path for me, one of the themes of my life is to be able to be comfortable with each one of these parts of myself so that I can express who I am fully in any one of these, so that I am one. Because, you know, if I feel like I'm going to sort of abide in mysticism, then I must come from oneness in order to experience oneness. So this is kind of where I'm going to, and I'm just wondering how that sounds for you. Yeah.
Well, I agree. We do wear a lot of different hats in our lives. And part of being a spiritual director is learning how to take all the hats off. And just listen for the divine movement of God. And so for me, when I'm doing spiritual direction, I often use Reiki. People know that I'm a Reiki master. They know that I teach and that I give treatment. And I use Reiki in my daily life all the time. So it's not uncommon at all for me when someone is in pain or struggling to just send Reiki right there for them. It's also very common for me to, we usually begin and end our sessions with either silence or prayer, and sometimes they ask for me to offer a verbal prayer. And at times, if it feels appropriate, I will just say, would you like some Reiki as I pray with you? And they usually always say yes, and I will put my hands on their shoulders and then offer the prayer. So they're getting Reiki at the same time. So there is a sense of oneness for me in everything that I do.
So when I say the phrase mystic order, what does that bring to mind for you?
The picture I got was a group of monks in robes.
I think that's a very common picture. I have to stifle a very facetious remark, so I think I'll just leave it at that. But and you know, it's interesting for me because that's a very ancient image, actually. Of I don't know if yours is like this, but I just see them walking down a long corridor in a stone building, you know, with their hands tucked in their sleeves of their robes and praying as they walk. And, you know, if we take this out of sort of our, what would I call it, our traditional context and see all of us in Reiki as, you know, walking our own path and together, because we are all one as human beings, and walking a corridor that's within ourselves and having the same practice, you know, being able to access the same experience of being in what we might call Reiki space, or this peaceful place of oneness, then that's the feeling that I get about mystic order. It's the image that I have to transfer into.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that connects with you at all.
Yeah, to hear the way you described it, that works very well for me.
Uh-huh. But before that, would you have considered Reiki to be a mystic order, or would you have thrown the word order out?
I would have probably gotten rid of the word order, but that's my own base right now. I'm very aware that our systems and our structures and our institutions are pretty sick right now. They've lost the vision of what they were there to do in the beginning.
And
so I'm having my own struggle with orders.
Orders. Well, say a little bit more about this, because it's really intriguing for me, because I feel that, you know, in my travels in the Reiki community worldwide, that people don't have an issue with the word mystic, but they do have an issue with the word order. And I'm just wondering if subconsciously or energetically, that they feel this disparity. So could you say a little bit more about that?
That's interesting that you're finding that everywhere. Yes, I'm in a space of exploring what would church, for instance, look like without structure? What would it look like if we just simply met for worship and the music came out spontaneously, the prayers came out spontaneously, the scripture was read without being planned ahead of time? My mind's just starting to play with that concept.
Uh-huh.
What would that be like?
Uh-huh.
We have a very clear order of worship every Sunday morning in both services. They're very different, but we still have this order that we follow, and my mind is starting to play with what would happen if we didn't have that. Now we're going to close our eyes and pray. Now we're going to stand up and greet each other. Now we're going to listen to a sermon that's going to be delivered by this person. What would happen if we let go of that structure?
Uh-huh.
And gave ourselves over to that mystery and trusted that it would come through.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It sounds like chaos to me.
Well, maybe. But,
well,
you know, I, so my question is, on the other side of that is, where did this order come from? Did it come from a natural progression where people noticed that there was a natural order and then it was kind of put in stone?
Well, there is an order. There is a flow to worship. To use that as an example. You know, there is a sense of gathering, everyone coming together, and then as we move through the hour, there is a sense of deepening your experience, or at least for me it is. My experience of God deepens as it goes through the, through the service. So.
And then is there another stage of ending? Or
yeah, then there's a stage of ending and a release, moving out into the world, letting go.
Well, good. Well, it's time for us to release and go out into the world. So all you listeners, think about that, about order in your lives and about mystic experiences. And, you know, where do they come from and how do they enrich our lives and what do they feed, where do they feed us? Because I feel like this is a really important part of our sustenance as human beings. Thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome.
And thank you, listeners. We'll be back. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.